Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Another edition is Hitting the High Notes, birthday boy edition of Hitting the High Notes Jazz Talk. It is I am here. You can see me on the Twitterverse at Jazz High Notes number 2. I really should go try and see if Elon will give me my first account back, because that kind of got a lot more traction. You can also find me on at Who Trans Superman. That's HUTRN Superman. I am here, and we are here with him. He's the Barker Barker and Busters. Jared Barker, what's up, man?
I am good, dude. I am good.
Yeah, but a little bit better than the Jazz, but we'll get to that in a second here. We are missing the squatches of Dragon. Apparently he is, probably just some on the toilet. Who knows? So he was able to join us today. But you know what? This podcast now is contractually obligated to be 2/3 Roy Hyde Royals. So we're bringing on, we can't call him a producer because I cannot actually pay him anything. So we're going to call him intern Jake. Jake Penrod, like I said, for Jake, when did you graduate from Roy High?
I was 2005.
So that must have been our class of 2004 then. Right. Yeah, because I'm so old now. They all mesh together. Like, I don't even know what year was what now. So,
but you're 2004. I thought you said before you were 2003.
I might have been 2003. Was I 2 years older than you, Jake? Really?
I know we shared at least 1 year together. I don't remember. But
yeah,
anyway, represent Roy High.
Yeah, we're Roy High Royals. Home of the Burger Bar. Burger Bar, give us money.
Seriously, though, that's a good spot. Burger Bar gives us money.
Yeah, Burger Bar gives us money. And speaking of, Burger Bar and getting paid, we are part of the Believe Network. Let me get the newest copy of our read for Bet Online, because the last of the major pro sports league is off and rolling, and college basketball is ready to go as well. Bet Online remains your top spot for all your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. Bet Online is your number one source for all your wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions. All the Hoops betting action, along with every sport available at your fingertips with both the desktop and mobile access at any time. Head on to Bet Online today and remember to use our promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at Bet Online, where the game starts. Thanks to Bet Online, thanks to BLEAV Network for helping us help the little podcast here grow to bigger and better things, which is more than I can say for this year's Utah Jazz. Jared, we 2-3 weeks ago we talked about this team, and I talked about it with Logan last week. Like, we all kind of said, okay, we thought the Jazz really needed to make the play in this week for this year for us to feel good about it, and it's not looking good. It's 2-7. The Jazz lose again tonight on November 8th to the Pacers in Indiana. They're on a losing streak. They've been discombobulated at times. They've got a couple injuries. They're moving things around. So your expectations now, 9 games in, Jared, where are you at?
Well, I'm starting to think that my pick of the 9th seed was overly ambitious, and I should have picked the Jazz to finish like 13th in the West.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's all still there, and the 9th seed is still. I don't think the 9th seed is that far away. Like, it looks far now, but just 70 games in the season, we're going to see a lot of teams really
true.
Go for it.
Long season.
The thing is that, like, I don't know if the Jazz are, like, if the Jazz are truly tanking, if they want to keep their pick. We saw it at the trade deadline last year. Like, if you really want to, halfway through the year, you can really start tanking and, getting those losses in there. Jake, so for those who, obviously this is your first episode on with us. And the funny thing is that, like, you and I in high school, I think we like drama classes and stuff together, but we never really like talked Jazz. And, so Jake and I reconnected because we've been in Facebook friends for a while. But I just remember seeing Jake the Link on Twitter, like commenting all these Jazz accounts that I followed. I'm like, oh, is that the same Jake I know? And so you're a big Jazz fan. I think you're probably a more optimistic fan than at least me. Maybe Jared. I don't want to speak for him, but so you're sort of a fan that really still lives and dies by a lot of the wins and losses here. Like you really loved last year. Again, you know, correct me when I'm right. speaking out of turn here. But how do you feel? Like you know, the Jazz are 2-7, and like I said, it's not just the record; it's the way they're losing, and they're just not looking like a team that has a sense of direction right now.
Right. Yeah. No, this year's team just feels very different than last year. Last year was confusing for me. I wanted the Jazz to lose, except for when they're actually playing. During the game, I was like, you know, the games are exciting. I wanted to cheer for them. And then when they won by like 1 point, I was like, oh, dang it. That wasn't worth it. But
yeah. I mean, I think that's, you know, a lot of Jazz fans probably felt. Logan. Logan. I mean, he talked about it all the time last year. Like he knew in his heart of hearts that like this is not the right thing to do, but like you couldn't help it. Like I mean, you want to see them steal the ball from the Golden State Warriors at the end and make a layup to win it. You want to see
you had three Roy Wiles agree.
Yeah, like you want to see them win these games. You want to see them beat the Nuggets and. There's a longer point, and maybe I won't make it today. And the short version of it, the NBA is just such a stupid league. it's broken. There's no reason why we should be cheering against that. But it's so punitive to be mediocre, and that's what the Jazz were going to kind of end up doing last year, is just be mediocre, which is where you don't want to be. You know, like the problem is that they couldn't capitalize on that hot start, and, you know, they ended up having to you know sell their stuff off in midseason, and by that time it was just too late. But like that's the problem with the NBA is that you shouldn't have to cheer for your team to stay in the game and then lose at the end. There should be better prizes for being in the middle of the pack. You know you shouldn't have to win, and you know this isn't life. You shouldn't have to win a lottery to feel better about yourself about your team, and so. That's a longer point that maybe I'll make a different time, but yeah. So the Jazz are 2-7. You know the game tonight against the Pacers.
Winnable game if they let get away from them in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. I mean, and that, you know, I don't know if that's the young team thing or if the Pacers are more well.
I see a lot of fans talking about the ball not getting back to Markkanen, and I think part of it is because, I don't know, our guard play just seems really inconsistent. And I'm not going to sit here and complain about Keontae because he's a rookie and I want him to play, and I want him to play through the struggles and get better. I feel like we're expecting way too much of JC, and he doesn't have it going like he did last year. Honestly, maybe they do need to seek out a trade for him because
nope,
like you're wrong. Before he loses value. Yeah. Nope, I don't know. I I'm like the last person you expect to hear say that.
JC is alive for life. If you don't build a statue of him next year next to Stockton and Malone, the Jazz trash. I should just move to Vegas. That's
why are you trying to steal my? That's what I said. That's what I was saying to you before the show. No, I'm just kidding.
How dare you?
I love JC.
We will not. You cannot have any Clarkson slander on here, yeah. Jared.
It hurts me deeply to admit that we might have to move on from JC because I think he's such a fun character. I enjoy it. You know. It's an experience watching him.
the JC experience. You're
yeah. Correct. Sometimes he's so bad and, you know, he'll lose the handle and, you know, in ridiculous situations. But also there's times when he gets so hot that it's ridiculous or makes these crazy falling out of bounds shots that I don't think anyone else could make but JC. But it does pain me that I think trading was probably the right choice right now.
Right.
As much as I enjoyed having him.
Yeah, like, I mean, you know, obviously I've been trade JC guy for a long time on this podcast.
We know.
We're at the point now, it's just like, I'm not quite, it's very weird. The Jazz, I still think is an asset accumulation mode.
Six turnovers and five assists is not just.
Albeit
he did score 33. So I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to. He had a great. It's funny that, okay, shout out to that Jazz lead account, because they were like, Jordan Clarkson tonight, 33 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, 6 turnovers, 12 of 26 from the field. Classic Jordan Clarkson game. I'm like, so you're going to highlight the turnovers and be like, classic Jordan Clarkson. I'm like, what the? It's just funny because that just seems like you're why?
Well, yeah, to come back, we'll come back to JC in a second, because like the Jazz, I mean, we've said it for a month now, just have just way too many of the same guys at the same position, and you know, like again, THT and Dunn, very mid players. Those guys are probably low end backup point guards that we thought were high end backup point guards that we could thought we could start for, and maybe not, you know, like it didn't have to be great, but like we thought maybe they could handle starting dudes for a little bit, and that's been a disaster, it feels like. I want to be really nice to Colin. I want good things to happen for him, and mainly because like there's a chance that he can come and, you know, talk with us on this podcast. But man, he makes it hard sometimes. Like there's stretches where like he just I think there was a stretch in the first quarter today when he came in and, you know, ran to the rim twice, got stuffed at the rim twice, and then shot a three-pointer. Like, he didn't pass the ball once in three possessions. Three straight possessions. I was like what? It's mind-boggling. And I want good things for Colin. I want good things to happen because, you know, like, the documentary he made in the summer, really cool. He seems like a really cool guy. But, you know, it's hard to have one of Colin Sexton and Jordan Clarkson on your team, but to have two of those guys, boy, it's kind of rough. You know, Keontae is the bright spot in the guard rotation, but he is, you know, he barely turned 20 today. You know, the tools look like they're there, but he's not at that level yet. So, but it's good to see him get the start, get minutes, and really work that stuff out. Collins, I guess, you know, Utah's own John Collins, a big advocate of him, wanted the Jazz to make a trade for him for a while. I said it last week, I'll say it again. I'm just not quite sure you can have both those guys on the floor at this, you know, just they're eating to each other in a weird way. But maybe with them, Walker Kessler being out for a couple weeks, maybe that will help the rotation a little bit. Because I know, Jake, you're a big Walker guy. You think Walker Kessler is really fun, you know, and I think he's a good player. I think that maybe Jazz fans maybe hyped him up a little too much last year. But you know, did you get a chance to see the game against Indiana and see how did the Jazz look a little, how did the Jazz look without Walker Kessler, I should ask?
No, I will watch every game. So, this one, there's obviously more spacing. Like that was pretty noticeable. I don't know how much of that is Keontae. I do think I think you're right. I don't know if right now John Collins and Walker Kessler can play together. I do think there's maybe a situation where they can figure that out because there's been flashes of it in some of the previous games, but it's definitely not there yet. I think it's better separating their minutes. And I don't know if that's, you know, I think John Collins could be awesome off the bench and cook other teams' benches, but maybe it's put Walker Kessler into the second unit. So.
Yeah, I mean, without Walker today, I mean, that first quarter actually looked, I mean, the Jazz, they got down 7-0 early. And I was like, oh, here we go again. but, you know, to their credit, they came back and scored like another like 8 or 9 straight. And they looked good for that first half. They were right there.
There was a lot of points in this game where it felt like we were missing Walker, too. Like he could have been helpful.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I can only watch about half the game. When I'm at work, I can only watch about half the games. It's on the background. It's ironic, but I think Alan Bean posted something like, you know, Walker's out and Laurie and Simone get back-to-back blocks or something, and I don't know what that means quite yet. You know, and we'll see. Like, apparently Kelly Olynyk kind of had a rough game today. Jazz fans calling for Omar Seven. I was like, okay, like the Jazz already have a lot of log jams. We don't really need to create more log jams. Like, I don't want to say an injury a blessing in disguise, but again, now we have an excuse to take Walker out. and maybe normalize that front court a little bit more. Like, yeah, maybe it is throwing, you know, Collins on the bench and playing with Olynyk more, Walker and Laurie. I don't know what the, you know, because if you have Laurie and Walker, Laurie, I know that Sarah Todd talked about, you know, saying his name right now. I'm very guilty of this, saying Laurie and Laurie, but Laurie and Walker. Laurie can play outside. Walker can play inside. Olynyk is a great ball mover. Collins can have a little more presence inside with Olynyk on the floor. So maybe that's the rotation. I don't know. But it does seem like we need to start clearing this up. Like, we need to figure out something in the guard rotation. But I don't care which one it is. I don't care if it's done.
You know,
I don't care if it's THT.
It's confusing.
It's confusing. If we traded... So, for example, let's see. Wait a minute. I feel like we need a consolidation trade of all these power forwards. We have too many forwards. And, like, the guard play just isn't good enough. But my real big issue is, are we essentially going to draft another guard this year? Especially since Abaji has been really struggling. You know, we don't know what he could be. Anything. He could be a boat. Like, he hasn't looked good at the beginning of the season, and that's kind of how he started last year. Maybe he's a slow starter, a la he who shall not be named, Gordon Hayward, whatever you want to call him. But and Mitchell also. Mitchell was the same way. He looked like trash at the beginning of the year, start ramping up and playing better for middle and end of the season.
And so, I you know, as I say, like, you know, just for the guards, they just need, I think they just need to pick one of Dunn or THT and just not play them. And you said the word consolidation trade. So
can I pick both?
you can pick both. Like, I mean, that's fine. You know, George Clarkson and Colin. It is a little rough, you know, because Colin and Jordan, just they seem to have the same problem as point guards. And when those two play together, just it doesn't seem great. And I'm like, oh my god.
That's rough.
I think THT and Dunn are both, you know, solid backup point guards, but the problem is that they're not masters of anything. They're masters of none.
I think one solution is, if we do trade like two or three of those, say, mediocre guards, is I like Ochai as a two guard, actually, more than what he's been doing as the backup three.
Right, because I mean the Jazz don't really have a three. I know Lowry's playing it, but he seemed much better in the four today. I think he played mostly, you know, I guess he kind of played three last year, but it was more positionless last year when they were able to win, Olynyk.
He also played three in where
Cleveland. I mean, he's played three a lot of places, and
It just feels like it's not his natural position, though. I get what you're saying. I agree with you.
I don't know. Like, I mean, and maybe it is working, and maybe I'm just not seeing it. But let's see. You said consolidation trade. Kind of give me an example of. We want to trade, you know, like, obviously we want to trade ponies for a horse, as I steal a term from the Herschel moment. Like, you want to trade two or three, you know, 35-cent pieces, or two or three guys for 35 cents each, and then trade for a dollar.
I don't think that's what we're going to be able to do. I think we're going to have to trade 375 cents for hopefully a 60 cents, you know, two quarters, 325 cent pieces for a 60 cent. I think we're gonna have to take a loss.
But even though those are still kind of hard to do, because again, we're
You're trying to upgrade, and it's a really hard needle to thread. You need a team that just doesn't have enough depth, like somebody like The problem is, anybody who doesn't have enough depth, they don't want to give away the stuff that they have. That's
exactly what I'm saying. Like, people are saying consolidate, and that's hard. Like, when you're trying to match salaries, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, I mean, you know, you got to find a team that's going, yeah, I'll take Colin, and, you know, like, either they have something that they can give you, like, you know, it's something that Jake's been saying online, still from his Twitter, is like, hey, we're hoping to flash THT, you know, up his value. And I don't know if I said this on the podcast last week, but, like, the problem is that you can't up his value too much, Because if THT starts playing really well, starts looking like a real good point guard, then the Jazz are like, oh, we don't want to trade him. You know, we want to keep him. Like he's $11 million. If he's playing like a point guard that can lead us, you know.
Oh, man, he's living up to that Laker fan nickname, total hot trash. So I don't even know.
Right. The thing is that if he starts looking good, you have to decide if that's fool's gold or not. And more often than not, you know,
I'm going to say fool's gold personally.
But well, he hasn't even done it yet. So the thing is that, you know, you don't know until you see it. Like, yeah. If all of a sudden in the next month he comes out and averaging 20 and 10, looking real dangerous, it's going to be one of those like, oh, we can't trade him. So he has to look good, but he can't look too good. So that's why, like, when people, it's not just Jake, but I know that Jake has mentioned that on Twitter. People are like, oh, we need to, and I think I mentioned this with Logan, like, it's hard to parse value or get more value out of guys because, the scouts, they've seen the bad tape. Walt Perrin, former director of personnel for the Jazz, always said, don't show me a guy's highlights. Show me a guy's lowlights. Show me the stuff that he can't do because I want to know if we can work on that, if we can live with that. Can we live without Rudy Gobert catching, being able to catch passes down low? This is stuff that they can find out if they can live with. Find that thing and find out if it mattered. So it's hard for me to be like, all right, cool, we're going to raise these guys' value and trade them. So Jazz Jargon tweeted out something today, which I think is and I retweeted it. And it was something that I kind of thought when the trade happened was that Collins, so he goes, the Collins acquisition was a pure value play, always a pure value play. I honestly think they can flip him now for something decent. So, and this is the talk we had preseason, like, everybody's already trying to trade John Collins as opposed to trying to see if he can play and be a badass. So now we're 2 or 3 weeks in. He's played fine. I don't think he's the reason the Jazz aren't playing very well. He's okay. He has decent numbers. He had like a double double for like the first three games. Like he's a good player. I think he could be an all star, but I don't know if he could be an all star for the Jazz with the way they're constructed. So I guess what I'm getting at, like, is a consolidation trade trading John Collins away? Is it giving up John Collins?
Frankly, I think that it would make more sense for him. I think this might not be the best situation for him. I think that he's shown that he's valuable in coming here, but the problem is, like, we have this logjam at forward, and we need a three. So if you could trade John Collins for a three, I think that would help a lot.
Maybe I should write this down so I can go look it up, because in the NBA you don't usually get the, oh, hey, we have a pretty good small forward, we need a pretty good power forward, their money somehow matches, here we go.
Maybe if the power, I think the small forward would have to be less good to trade for the power forward, because small forward is kind of like the most coveted position.
But Danny Ainge also is a guy that we've talked about, doesn't like to lose, quote unquote, lose a trade. If the benefit of getting Utah's own John Collins was to flip him at some point, try to get some more assets. Like, that's the reason the Jazz held on to like Conley, Vando, Beasley as long as they did last year, is because they wanted to get the best asset. I've been going back and forth that was the right move in the vacuum. Saying that you were able to flip, and at the time, we thought aging kind of maybe not quite washed, but on the wrong side of the hill, Mike Conley, a couple players that the Jazz were planning on re-signing, and Beasley and Vando, and getting a future first round pick from it, in the vacuum sounds pretty good. In the aggregate, not as great, but so the same thing as John Collins, so you could flip him for straight across small forward. I don't have a name, but there's some small forward out there that you can go get.
Somebody, yeah.
Considering what we paid for John Collins, I'm fine trading him for almost anyone.
Okay, and that's fair. Like, the GM and me, the Danny Ainge and me going, oh boy, I have John Collins. I guess the value play here is like we really want to, you know, like his value
hit an all-time low. So maybe we hold on to him until the end of the year, and if his value goes up, then you trade him. I don't know. Either that, or maybe somebody else's value improves and you trade them.
Right. And sort of like right now, like I guess the point of Jack Jargon's tweet was that John Collins right now could still fetch you something.
That's you said, if the players aren't good, it's going to be really hard to trade them.
Right.
I think John Collins is at that level where he's like, he's a good player, but we wouldn't be, you know, if we lost him, we wouldn't be too sad.
Would you feel bad if you traded him and got really nothing? Like, say you got a small four back, that's just fine. But he goes to, like, you know, what's the trash team? He goes to the Wizards. He goes to the Blazers. Like, you know, pick your team that's really bad. They get a, you know, powerful entrance into all
the level. The Wizards are mega ass, so they are really bad.
Like,
oh, I guess. So you're saying John Collins for, say, like, what's this? Kuzma. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know I don't think the Wizards do that, but.
Probably not.
Because it would have to be a tier below Kuzma.
I think you're right.
You two, Watanabe or whatever. I can't remember who the small forward on that team is. Danny Avdija, or whatever his name is.
Oh, in Cleveland.
But more to the point is that like there's a chance that John Collins could be an All Star, and if you trade him somewhere, and if you don't get value back for it, it's going to look really bad. It's going to look like a trade that you quote unquote lost. And I think Danny Ainge is in that mindset. Like, he doesn't want to lose a trade, you know, quote unquote lose a trade.
Right.
Danny Avdija. I don't even know how to say the name.
He's Israeli. Yeah. It's hard.
With John Collins' contract value, I think, you know, ideally Danny Ainge would love to package like him and THT and Kelly Olynyk and whoever else and go for somebody that is.
And now that's the other point about this consolidation trade is that, you know, he has, you know, Colin Sexton, he has Jordan Clarkson, he has John Collins. These contracts are not quite max contracts, but they're close enough to be the main piece of a max contract trade. Like, John Collins and, you know, like you said, THT or another contract.
Yeah, Sexton or all of them.
Yeah, like 36 to 40-ish million. So if you just trade that, if you just trade John Collins like tomorrow and got back somebody, you know, a little bit less, all of a sudden, you know, you lose not just John Collins, but you lose one of your expensive contracts to trade for a max contract. So I don't know who the max contract is, but, you know, there's a reason why Danny Ainge went and got, you know, gave Jordan Clarkson a lot of money this season, and then it ramps down after the season. Colin Sexton was given an extension last year. THT, his option, he picked it up, but, you know, they went and traded Pat Beverly for THT last year. So these are numbers that Danny Ainge could use, and I think, you know, he wants to try to trade. Obviously, everyone wants to try to trade for a bigger fish. But to do that, you have to have these contracts. So, anyway, that's just a long way of saying that the Jazz probably could trade John Collins, but, you know, the opportunity cost, it might come at different opportunity costs, I guess. So,
yeah.
You know, so Keontae George started at guard today. This is something that Jazz fans were really happy about. We really wanted to see Jake come out. I think you've been on board. You know, want to see Keontae. You know, 20th birthday. How do you feel about Keontae and his first start?
I feel great. It was, like I said, this team's been really rough to watch as a fan. I think I had like one game I enjoyed. That was the Clippers. And then it's been really bad for a long time. And this was a game that was actually enjoyable, even though, again, they lost by, what, like 17 points or something. The Keontae George ones were nice, and, you know, he had nine assists. I think that's a record for any Jazz guard so far this year.
Yes, I mean, it's funny because, like, you know, like you and Logan, you might get along on this podcast because, like, Logan talks about it all the time. Like, he he wants to see the wins and losses, and he's not a player development guy. And this season is kind of turning into that. Like, it was supposed to be last season. Last season, like, we had all bought in. Last season, you know, most of Jazz Nation were like, okay, yes, we are ready to see, you know, the Jazz bottom out, go get some young guys, and then see. But you know, then Lowry Marketing happened. JC was fun. Like, I mean, a lot of fun things happened for this team. And you know, again, at the end of the day, you know, you guys enjoyed watching the wins. And this year, you know, I asked Logan last time. I was like, hey, you know, he still wants the wins. We're not getting it. And I told him like really, I don't, you know, a loss doesn't bother me. A win doesn't bother me. Like last year, it was a win really bugged me, and a loss I was cheering for. And most seasons, I want to see them win. And this year, it's just like, and maybe it's because like I don't think this Jazz team was going very far regardless. And like the more the season goes on, the more I'm like, yeah, whatever. Like, if they keep their pick, cool. You know, the larger, you know, a lot of people are arguing like, hey, they need to convey the pick this year. They need to keep the pick for next year. It's a whole lot of things, and the way the Jazz are playing, it doesn't. I mean, if they suck this year and next year.
I thought it turns into a second rounder though if it doesn't convey this year.
No, you have to wait like 2 years or three years.
Yeah, so it's top 8 protected, top 10 protected for the next for this year and next year, and then after that it just turns into cash. So there's a chance the Jazz can just keep the pick. So,
who I have a question for you.
Yeah.
How important is it for the Jazz to, you know, at least like make the playoffs, just to show Lowry that you know, they're going the right direction?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's actually a great question. Thank you, Jay, because, you know, that's something I've been thinking. Because people have been saying there's a lot of Jazz fans like, oh, we need to do this. So, you know, Lowry wants to re-sign here. And I don't know. Like, for me, if I'm an NBA player, like, sure, I want to be on a competitive team. But, man, like, I mean, look, Kyle Kuzma just signed for a bunch of money to play for the Wizards who suck. But like when he signed, you know, I'm sure he wasn't, you know, I don't know. What was his thought process? He's like, oh, they suck, but at least I'll be the guy on there. Or, hey, you know, maybe Lowry thinks I'm the first piece. You know, if I sign here, great. You know, we got three young draft picks coming up. You know, we have a chance to draft another guy. You know, Walker Kessler is also young and we're good friends. Like, I don't know if team success, I don't know what percentage of the pie team success is for some athletes. Like for LeBron, maybe it's bigger. That's why he went to Miami, right? But you know, for the guys in the you know, third tier of the NBA, like the really good players, maybe they want to be the guy. Maybe Lowry's like, I just want to be the guy on this team, whether we're a championship contender or playoff contender or, you know, just out of it. Like, I want to be the guy because there's only so many places you can go. Would Lowry take less money, go to a team but have better chances of winning? I don't know, but I just don't know how big of that team success it goes into when they sign. Maybe he'll just be happy that he's going to be making $30 million. You know, like he's making 15 right now and. Again, you know, like he has a chance to be the face of the franchise. He might be able to sign somewhere else for $30 million, but you know, that's also uprooting his. You know, he's married, he has a family. I'm not saying that family men want to stay in Utah. I'm saying that moving somewhere else, you know, for the same amount of money or even a little bit less, you know, a couple million dollars less to go somewhere else. You know, to go through the same situation, like the Jazz aren't going to be the only ones in the situation where they're kind of on the cusp. So, what do you think, Jake?
Yeah, I have no idea. I've just heard a lot of people. You know, is Lowry going to feel better if we're competitive or if we get a top draft pick?
And I think a lot of us project ourselves onto these players, right? Like, well, God, if I was, you know, this talented, I would want to make sure I played for a winning team, but there's so many other factors that go into it. You know,
he's happy just to make the money, and you know, that's it.
Yeah, and again, there's nothing wrong with that. But you know, they again, like his contract right now is so cheap. and he had to sign that because, you know, like, Chicago didn't give him the money. Cleveland kind of gave him the money. And now that he's proven that now that he's shown that he can be this type of player and do it, like, you know, maybe he didn't care where it comes from. And this is the challenge for Danny Ainge. And again, like, just because the bad, if the Giants are bad this year, doesn't mean they're bad next year. Doesn't mean they're bad in 2 years. There are things that to look forward to. There's Keontae George. Keontae George looks like he's at least an NBA rotation player. Taylor Hendricks, you know, Jared made the "it's a box" jokes earlier, but yeah, we don't know what Taylor Hendricks is, you know, but Lowry's going to see him. Lowry's going to see him practice. Lowry's going to see, like, okay, maybe he can be the guy I can play next to for this a few years. He saw how Walker played last year. You know, maybe, and him and Walker are friends. Maybe that's important to him, you know? Like, it's like, oh, yeah, like, this is a guy I can play on PS5 with. You know, Jared, that was a really good question by Jacob. What do you think?
I mean, it's an interesting thought process. You know, I mean, there's so much that goes into it. These decisions, like, I think Jake makes a really good point. Like, I think it's hard to quantify that and to know. Like, we're gonna have to talk to the insider, Colin Sexton, to find out what was his thought process, his decision making.
Right, like, like Colin said, you know, in his documentary, like, hey, he didn't know a lot about Utah until he got here, and then, like, the shit was awesome, right? Like, this,
yeah.
For Lowry, it's just, like, you know, I think we're putting a lot of, you know, like, oh, if we're not good, he's leaving for sure. And again, we're projecting, and we're you know, very victim mentality here, and, you know, not just our fan base, but, you know, a lot of fan bases, like, oh, he's gonna up and leave as soon as he can because that's what Darren did. That's what Donovan looked like he was going to do. But we forget that Rudy Gobert wanted to stay. You know, Rudy Gobert probably would have stayed. Had no reason to leave. Lowry, again, maybe I'm downplaying. Maybe Lowry, maybe other people know better, and he really wants to be on a winning team. But this is a team that, like, the Jazz, 2-7 today. This Jazz team still has, they still have a lot of draft picks. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, not only could they be making those picks for better players, but they can also use those picks to you know, like, it's them and the Oklahoma City Thunder that have a chance to, you know, go get someone, the next, you know, James Harden, Paul George level player that says, okay, we need to leave the situation and the team needs to sell them to get picks, you know? So just because the Jazz are, like, really bad this year, I think the future is there. Like, they have assets.
Right, and I could be being optimistic. I have no idea for sure, but I would guess that Lowry actually believes this team is better than they're looking right now. Well, I bet he thinks they're a lot closer to a championship based on.
I'm sure they are. And
players are just optimistic.
I don't like you. Like, the thing is that, like, the sports changes so much from year to year. We think we know. You know, we think we know. Like, the Heat were in the finals last year. Look how awful they look this year. Right. You know, people thought adding Damian Lillard was going to make those guys instant contenders in the East. The Bucks added Damian Lillard, and they're not dominating the East like some of us thought they would.
Yeah, they're really uneven right now, the Bucks. And it just goes to show, I guess we were all wrong about this. Well, not all of us, anyways. Me, I was wrong about the Celtics because I think Kristaps Porzingis is really overrated. But, you know, that five-out stuff is working for them. But yeah, I guess also, addition by subtraction, they stripped off Marcus Smart and how he looks like trash for the Grizzlies.
Yeah. So. I mean, like, you know, it's one of the things that, like, us as fans, we're so, like, all right, every year we think, we get into it, we know what these guys are going to be. Like, even Smart fans, we know what these guys are going to be from day one. We don't need to watch the rest of the season. Who would have called the Pacers being the number one offense in the league today, right?
Insane, right?
Yeah. So I mean, look, the Pacers are on the way up, right? That, you know, the Haliburton is a very good. Haliburton's going to be an All NBA player at this rate. But yeah, so that's things that, like, internally, you know, like, they block out. You know, THT talks about him searching his name on Twitter and stuff. But I'm sure there's a vision. Like, you know, I'm sure the Jazz, even when they're down, like Danny Ainge is that Danny Ainge has a vision. We, like us as fans, may not know it, but there is something there. Like either he's collecting assets or they're building, you know, the old saying, Rome wasn't built in a day. So this is definitely, and maybe it's a setback. Maybe they thought they were going to be a little more competitive than this year. And maybe they will be. Maybe they're just waiting for things to click. I mean, look, I mean, the Jazz were 10-2 last year. And then they came back down to earth. The Spurs were one of the top teams last year. Came back down to earth. The Blazers were one of the top teams last year. And when I say this last year, I mean the first month. First month of the season. Everyone's like, oh my God, look at the Blazers, the Jazz, and the Spurs. And maybe there's like, you know, some gamesmanship. Maybe the Spurs, dumped Jakob Poeltl pretty early in the season, if I remember correctly. Or the trade deadline. Maybe the trade deadline. But, you know, like everybody started doing the gamesmanship thing because they didn't want to be tricked by the fool's gold. So things change very quickly. Even, you know, we'll come back next month and, you know, who knows? You know, who knows what the surprise is going to be, right? But, yeah, so, like, just because, like, we've had a, you know, as fans have had a rough couple of weeks, it just doesn't, you know, we can't overact. There's still 70 games. The NBA season goes till July, all right? We are in the beginning of November. We are at the starting line. It's not anything to be super panicked about.
Totally different after trade deadline.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we don't know. There's a lot of things. Like, Danny might just say, let's take another year. Or they might make a maybe they find a consolidation trade that makes sense for them and get them another piece that makes them look better. Maybe they find somebody that says, yes, we'll take Colin Sexton or Jordan Clarkson and something else. Because, you know, we need, I mean, the Lakers, right? The Lakers are always going to be looking for ways to add to their roster. The Clippers right now look awful, but they're all in. They have Kawhi. They have Paul George. They have Harden. They have Westbrook. Like, that's a team that is desperate. They've traded everything they can to get these guys on their team. And that's a team that needs to find depth any way they can. So,
yeah. Yeah, and so maybe what happens is, I mean, but that's another fucking power forward, Terrence Mann. Fuck.
Yeah. Again, it's just some. Trade for Westbrook again, Jazz legend. But yeah, so I mean, there's gonna be some other things that come up, and we're so just at the beginning of the season. Let's not. I mean, look, you're a fan. Hey, go ahead and freak out because there are reasons to freak out. One that I thought was kind of interesting is Taylor Hendricks played in his first G League game. You know, this is a question we asked last week. This is a question we asked 2 weeks ago. Jake, I haven't got to hear your answer. How worried are you that Taylor Hendricks is playing in the G League?
I am not worried at all.
Okay.
Yet.
Jared, Emma, what would your answer again?
I think I said that he could be a boat, right? So I think that
the game, right?
I'm very wait and see with Taylor Hendricks. I'm not. He's been playing well in the G League, so that's good. I mean, if he were in the G League and sucking, then that would be not good. But the numbers he's putting up there seem solid, and he seems like he's leading that team. You know. In the Taylor Hendricks way. I don't know if they're winning games because I haven't been watching the Stars, to be honest.
I don't know if they've had anything that's... Yeah, sorry.
I need to talk to... What's his name? Oh, who's the guy that they have doing the running the Stars over there now? I'm trying to remember the name of that guy. He used to be a Jazz broadcaster, the sideline reporter guy. No. The sideline reporter guy, because Tony Parks is like, he was the in-arena commentator. Right. And I think that's what he does but there's another guy that he's like the head of the Stars now. And he used to be like Steve Brown or something, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't Steve know. Brown. Was there.
I'm pretty sure he's the president of the Stars. So I need to go interview Steve Brown and find out what's going on down there.
I'm trying to find, like, I think McCade and Larson put out that list of the top 10 picks that top 10 or like picks that were lottery picks, and like almost none of them have gone to be all stars. I think the best one was Marcus Smart, and he played one game in the G League. So I'm gonna try to find that here in a little bit. But yeah, so so Jake, you're not worried at all, which is
I don't expect him to be an all star personally. I mean, he's a top 9 pick. Is he gonna be Gordon Hayward? Probably not.
And that's, you know, so there's a whole other thing. Like, if he's not an all-star, then, you know, did the Jazz waste your number 9 pick? And maybe. I don't know. Again, like, number 9 pick in what was supposed to be a generational draft. Maybe he's not an all-star. But then, you know, the Jazz are like, the Jazz fans are like, oh, well, man, then why'd you take him at number 9?
Everybody who... People were freaking out that we didn't pick Cam Whitmore's in the G League now. So,
and that's another, you know, that's why the discourse got brought up again. Cam Whitmore, but you know, Cam Whitmore also went 20, so he didn't get to count in the stat that we're using, that lottery picks, right, in the G League, because there have been, like, you know, Rudy Gobert, there have been late picks that have made All Star games that play in the G League.
If Taylor Hendricks is, you know, able to be a sort of rookie rotation player, we kind of have a logjam at that position. Like, who are you putting him in over right now?
Yeah, and then that was the problem, was that, you know, they went and got Collins before they drafted Hendricks. So they already knew they had three power forwards on the team. So, and that's why, like, I'm not worried about that logjam as much, because, you know, like, look, if the Bucks had two great power forwards on their team, would they have drafted Giannis? Like, you know, would you pass on Giannis if you had Lauri Markkanen and John Collins on your team? Do you pass on someone that you think could be the next Giannis? No, you know, like, he's not ready yet, obviously, and but like, I mean, if they thought that he could be. Then if they thought he could be a really good player, but it was just raw, then you can take a chance. You can take a chance on that guy, especially if you have 3 picks, especially if you think Keontae George could, you know, be pretty good. Because, again, we do have the model. We do have the Giannis model of someone who was not ready yet in their first year and a half-ish, and then look at him now, right? For most part, oh. Like,
also... Rudy Gobert played in the G League. So we have a track record of success in developing.
Right, but not for the same stat that we're using. I mean, there have been other players that played in the G League and have.
Sure, but Rudy was going to be a lottery pick until he got that toe injury, and then he looked like crap for most of his workouts.
But he was not. So,
he wasn't, because people didn't know that. Yeah, and they didn't take into account the injury. Jerry Sloan said that, oh, we got to get this fucking guy in here. You know, he was watching those workouts.
I know the Jazz were very high on him, but for the purposes of, like, the statistics, right, it's lottery picks that have played in the G League. And so that's just that.
Here's my problem with statistics. They're just numbers. There's a whole lot of other context. There's a human element. And people just...
Okay, then that's fine.
What are the chances Taylor Hendricks would be playing NBA minutes if he went to a different team?
Yeah, that's a great question. And
they didn't have Lowry and John Collins, and, you know.
I mean, we've seen some other guys, like, you know, Jarace Walker, right, went, what, number 10, number 8? Number 8 to the Pacers. He didn't play today. He didn't play for the Pacers. So there are other. The last thing is
Anthony Black. He's not playing. He went
right.
What
is the? So I guess the question is Taylor Hendricks. So he's not good enough to play right now, but that's the problem, because, like, you know, the guys who are the guys, you know, the LeBrons, the Durants, you know, Donovan Mitchells, those guys, you know, they were ready from day one, and the NBA sometimes is like, you are just ready from day one. You don't. There are more. Donovan Mitchell's, you know, guys that are ready to go, than they are Giannis's, because not all players get to this level and that are not, like, ready yet. I guess the point there. So, but doesn't mean he can't do it. It just means that if Taylor Hendricks were to get to All-Star/Superstar level, he would have to be the first person.
Yeah. So, well, I think my biggest problem with that for a guy like Taylor Hendricks to get to that all-star superstar level, mm-hmm. we probably need to get some better guard play on this team. So guards are the priority coming.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I get that point too, but, you know, like Kevin Durant never had that problem. You know what I'm saying? You know, like if we want, and the thing is that, look, that's a high bar. You know, I'm saying Kevin Durant.
Yeah, the, he was a number two pick. Yeah. So
the problem, I guess the problem, or what I'm trying to say that you, but you want your rookie to be that guy. You want your rookie to be the next.
Of course you do. But we weren't bad enough to get Wembanyama. We weren't bad enough to get Scoot Henderson. We weren't uh-huh. bad enough to get.
Doesn't mean as a fan that, you know, you don't like, you still want Taylor Hendricks to be the next guy, right? And so he's already behind. Like he's not gonna come into the league as a rookie of the year candidate. And again, that's fine. But if you want the Jazz to be a championship team, the best starting point is to have a rookie be that guy. You know, be Luka, be Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. be one of the top players in the league, and so he hasn't started that way. And
who would you have picked at 9 over him?
Me, I don't scout. The point is that I don't think there's someone better behind him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The point I'm trying to make is that, look, you know, last year the Jazz fans were hoping to tank to get somebody that could be the face of their franchise. And at number 9, like they were told, okay, cool. The Jazz said, we got this guy. You know, Tony Jones is all over Twitter saying that, hey, you know, they're not guys that have his range, that can shoot the three, play inside, you know, have his length. There's nobody out there with that kind of skill set. And that's fine. That's all fine and good. But he's not ready to use it in the NBA now. And that's fine. Like look, Kevin Durant, people bet you don't wait. Coming out of high school, and you know he's turned out to be one of the best players in the NBA, right? You know, LeBron came out with all the expectations in the world, and he met them. You know, again, Luka, came in at number 4. You know, he's probably, you know, MVP candidate this year. There's some certain players that from day one, you know, those guys are going to be good, and. If you want to get to that level, I'm saying that, look, I thought it was a really small chance the Jazz were going to draft someone at that level anyway, but that's the hope. You know, like if you're not going to get the number one pick, you just have to hope that your guy gets there. So, yeah, I think there's a little worry that Taylor Hendricks is playing in the G League because it probably means he might not be an all-star. If he's not going to be an all-star, he's probably not going to be a generational superstar. So I think it's okay to have some worry if those are your expectations.
Yeah.
But if your expectations are not for him to be an all-star, then he's fine. Like, you know, Jared just said, I don't think he's going to be an all-star. Okay, that's fine. If you don't think he's going to be an all-star, then what he's doing right now is just fine because, you know, Ochai was in G League for a good while last year. And while I don't think Ochai is anything special, I think Ochai can be a rotational player in the NBA. And he played in the G League. And if Taylor Hendricks, if you think Taylor Hendricks is, you know, what you're expecting his ceiling to be is, you know, 6 men off the bench, then yeah, he's fine, you know? And so that, I guess that's my point, is that the G League really hurts his chance to be a potential superstar for the Jazz, and that hurts, I think, the Jazz's chance to win a championship overall, because, you know, most teams that that win championships have drafted their potential superstar, so... or at least have had a top 3 guy in the league. And for the Jazz to have a top 3 guy in the league, I think they have to draft him. So, that, you know, Jake, you're new. Does that make sense? Sometimes I
remember. Yeah, no. I agree with you 100%. I don't think Taylor Hendricks is probably going to be a superstar, but I don't know if the Jazz need him to be. They have so many other picks and other ways, and maybe Keontae can get there. Who knows? So.
Yeah, maybe. Count. I mean, obviously, count. They, again, I said, if you can hit on 1 of 3 draft picks, great. And, you know, apologies to Bryce Sensabaugh. I just don't think any of us have that high expectations for a pick in the late 20s. And Jared, I mean, like, I mean, you said it, right? Like, you don't think Taylor is going to be an all-star or had the ceiling to be an all-star. What do you hope he does in the next couple years, I guess, for the Jazz?
For Taylor Hendricks' progress?
Yeah.
I kind of just expect him to end up as a rotational player. Hopefully a high-end guy, high-end rotational player, maybe a starter.
And that's a fair thing to think about. I mean, if that's all you wanted out of Taylor Hendricks, then yeah, I think you're probably cool.
I think I can reasonably expect. I'm not over the moon with my expectations
for him. Yeah, if he can be a starter that can contribute, slightly above where Ochai is.
And I get that. That just makes me more upset about last year's team, I guess. Is that well then they really just missed out on a lot of chances. And if I could go back,
Danny Ainge should have traded away Mike Conley for nothing. I think so too, because we would have been worse and we would have got a better pick.
But
so,
he didn't. That's Jake's trigger warning. He likes Mike Conley a lot.
He's been good this year.
He has been.
The Jazz need that.
Yeah. And it's worked out well for the party. And look again, in the vacuum, I like having an extra first round pick that was hard to get the trade deadline, but in the aggregate. We probably don't have time to talk about this anymore. And so maybe I'll say it now and then maybe we can expand upon it in a future episode. But, all of a sudden we're seeing, the Will Hardy no longer a great coach takes.
That's the answer for you. Are they saying hire Ty Corbin now? Is that what our new thing is?
No, it's funny because I think I said this on last week's episode that if your bar is better than Ty Corbin to be bring a back coach, Kevin O'Connor. it's a low bar. And so I don't even say Will Hardy's a bad coach.
Saying that? Is it just because of the Jazz record?
Jazz, right, but I mean, like the vibes, right? Like everything looks bad. The Hunger Games comment, just a lot of stuff. Like not just the record, but like what? Where did the Jazz go all of a sudden? That the fun team they had last year. And I'm not here to say if I think he's a bad or good. I think he's a good coach. I thought he was a good coach last year. It's another one of these examples where I think Jazz fans, and all fans probably do this, but we're a Jazz podcast. That Jazz fans, just hyped him up too much. Like he came in and like, oh my God, we were supposed to be bad, but we were playing way above expectations. We must have one of the best coaches in the league, and we had barely a year of data, and people are already making these exclamations. And that's okay. Look, if you're a fan, don't let me stop you from doing that. You have every right to do it. Just on this podcast, I'm gonna hear that, and we're gonna come on and say, well, let's take a breath, let's take a minute and see, What does it take for me to consider someone to be great? Because I was there for all of Quinn Snyder's. We may not have been podcasting, but I definitely was talking to people at work, people at any job I was at. We would talk Jazz, and I thought Quinn Snyder was a good coach. I thought it was a little ridiculous to really put him up there with all these great coaches of all time type talks. Even when he was in the running for Coach of the Year, I was like, let's pump the brakes. We have to make a line of like what we, at least on this podcast, like I think we should make a line of like, okay, what do they have to do for me to consider a great coach or amazing coach? Like, we should have some benchmarks. Like, okay, it's cool. In year three, they did this. Sounds good. On at least for me on this podcast, I've been very complimentary to Danny Ainge, and I think he's done some really good stuff. But now we're in year what, four or five Danny Ainge, like the bar is higher now. Like he's done some good stuff. Can he continue to do it? Like, yeah, his first 3 or 4 years, Danny Ainge did some good stuff. He tried to win with the team that they had. They went and got good packages for Donovan and Rudy. So now this is his first draft, I think, with the Jazz, like first real good draft with the Jazz. Yeah, I think first draft with the Jazz because they didn't have picks last year. First draft with the Jazz, some hires. You know, there's some other benchmarks that he has to hit now for me to still be complimentary of him. So, you know, even though he was good 2 years ago, does not mean he's had it. You know, he can have a bad year, right? So, and again, we're running out of time, so we can't really expound upon that too much. But Jake, he's been in this group text with us for like 2 months, so he finally had enough of the Jazz that he was able to respond today and said, you know what? Put me on the pod. I'm more of a behind the scenes guy, but I have some podcast feelings that I have with Jake. So you're a big audio guy. Like, what made you a big audio guy?
I don't know. I think I had kind of music in my house just growing up. My dad played a bunch of instruments. When I got into high school, I started playing guitar because I thought it was cooler, and it just went from there, where I got a job at Guitar Center, got a bunch of studio gear, started recording stuff, and just went from there. But I think you're exactly right about Will Hardy. Like, he's young. He's, what, 9 games into his second year? Like, he's going to get better. He's just like all the rookies will. So,
well, we assume he's going to get better, but I'm not going to condemn him 9 games into year 2 is right. Where I'm at. Jared, so you're meeting Jake for the first time. Like I said, Jake and I went to high school together. We've interacted after high school and been Facebook friends, and now we're Twitter friends and everything. You can see, like, look at the setup. You can see the guitars back there. He's got this nice mic set up there. Intern Jake's on the podcast, Jared. So anything you want to... You know, anything that we need to add for Jake's inaugural podcast episode?
Can we call him Jake the Snake? Just because, you know, wrestling motif, you know, all that stuff. Because you and Logan are really into WWE.
Jake, how do you feel about the Jake the Snake? Do you have a different moniker you go by? Or
people call me Jake the Snake forever, but you can also do Jake the Lynx or... whatever you
Jake
want.
The links, yeah, the Jake the Link. That is your Twitter handle. So,
Jake the Links.
As we enter, let me read this list off you: Marcus Smart, Jonathan Kuminga, Luke Kennard, Malik Monk, Noel Vonleh. Boy, that's who I think Taylor Hendricks is. Noel Vonleh, Jonathan Isaac, Cam Payne, Denzel Valentine, Shabazz Muhammad, Moses Moody, James Booknight, Kuminga again.
Hey, Moses Moody, man. Moses, that's my guy, Moses Moody.
Okay, well, yeah. Primo. Yeah, Primo. Ochai, Usmane Yang, TJ Warren, Usmane Yang again, Primo again, Johnny Davis, Papa Giannis, Georgios, Papa Giannis. No corrective lenses today. Jalen Green, and then these guys, Scoot Henderson played, but this is before he was in the... So did Jalen Green. Jalen Green and Scoot Henderson... Dyson Daniels all played in the G League before they got into the... So these were the players in the G League, thanks to McCade Pearson on his Twitter. I just looked up McCade Pearson and then lottery picks and found it. But these are G League in the last 10 years as rookie before they were lottery picks. So again, you know, the best name on that list might be Marcus Smart. You know, Kuminga and Moody, I guess they're still young enough. I mean, some of these guys are still young enough that they might, but it's not looking good so far. Like, some of those names... I mean, you know, Muhammad, right? Shabazz Muhammad. Noel Vonleh, like Noel Vonleh also picked number 9 in 2014. I had high hopes. I think Noel Vonleh might actually be a really good comp for where Taylor Hendricks could be. So, but yeah, none of those guys really, I mean, some of them became rotation players. Again, if you're looking for a rotation player, then, you know, you're good. If you're looking for next generational superstar, it's looking bad. So I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying you should or shouldn't be worried. I think it depends on your expectation. And, you know, if you are worried, great. There's a lot of evidence that say you should be worried. If you're not worried, also great, because we don't know. You know, there's a reason people play the lottery. You know, there's a reason that people try, because there's a 0.000 whatever percent. But guess what? Somebody eventually wins it. So you might hit. Like, again, if you had asked people after Giannis's first year if he was going to be an MVP and multi-time All-Star, they probably would have, bet no. But he did it. So it could be anything. It could be a boat, as Jared says. So Jake.
I stole that from Family Guy, which I think I stole it from you because you reminded me it existed.
Oh, I say it all the time.
Yeah.
One of my favorite bits. Jake the Lynx. Jake, tell people where they can follow you for your Mike Conley takes on Twitter.
Twitter, X, whatever. It's literally just at Jake the Lynx.
Jake the Lynx, LYNX. Jared Barker, what's up, man? It is 12:30 a.m. Where can they find you on Twitter?
Oh, you can find me tweeting at Go the Distance 49.
49. I am at Hootran Superman, and I'm at Jazz High Notes 2. Hopefully, Jazz High Notes 1 will come back to life one day. Jake, again, thanks for helping us meet our Roy Royals quota. Hey, come back on. You're welcome to come back on.
Did you talk with Elon Musk about getting High Notes 1 back, or High Note 0, or High Notes Nothing, whatever
just,
you
just
want?
Just High Notes, yeah. I have to go, get into my email and, find out why Twitter banned me on I don't know what I did. I do a lot of stupid stuff, so.
You tweeted something negative about Clarkson. I think the Filipino fans got you.
No, not me.
I'm serious. That
not
was
me,
like
man.
Right up.
Not me, man. I've sat here and tried to get a statue, and Jordan Clarkson. I want Jordan Clarkson to be retired by the Jazz now, before he leaves. So
yeah.
I won't stand for that. I won't stand for anything. He does he go to a lot of Jazz games. Yeah, a lot. So,
yeah, that was a great memeable moment. Honestly, I love JC, and I'd be sad to see him leave. But if he went somewhere,
not that sad apparently.
If he went somewhere, he could win a title. Good for him.
I'm gonna rewind the audio. I really think the Jazz should trade Jordan Clarkson.
he's not the worst guard we have.
Yeah.
No, he's definitely not.
Yeah.
He's definitely not.
All right. Well, we've been trying to end this podcast for 10 minutes now. We will see you guys. Next time.